Well, good morning, everyone. How's everyone this morning? You guys are getting so much better. Hallelujah. Well, I got to say that this scam that's going around has been quite a week. If you receive that text, remember that if it's a 954 area code number coming in and it's saying it's me, it's not me. Okay, so that's a number out of Florida. And whoever's doing it, we have no idea, but this is an old scam that's been going around for quite some time. So if you hear or you get this text or what have you, that we're looking for gift cards, $100 gift cards, $500 worth, and they're Apple iCards or what have you, then know that that is not me. So make sure you just delete it, okay? Okay, so the cards that have been coming in and gifts have been going directly to the office, and we have them in there and know that that's where they're going, okay? The ones that you guys have taken in so far. So there will not be a text that goes out saying that I want a card from you or cards from you, all right? On another note, I went with my lovely wife Christmas shopping yesterday. No, not woo. No, not a chance. No parking spots. It was absolute mayhem, shoulder to shoulder. I don't know what I was thinking. I need to get my temperature checked, I think. But something did happen yesterday. Jealousy came upon me, and I got to confess this to you. I went into one mall, and there was this father, and he had his two little kids, and they rented them little fluffies. Have you ever seen them? The little electric fluffy driving around the halls and everything. Jealousy came upon me. My feet were so sore, I contemplated renting a fluffy. And I said to Cindy, Cindy, I'm going to rent one of them. She goes, oh, no, you're not. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for today, Lord, that we could come into your house and worship you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give this service to you, Lord. You are an awesome God, worthy to be praised, Lord. And Lord, we are just so thankful for all that you do for us. Thank you for this Christmas season, Lord, where we can exalt your name, lift it up high. And Lord, let people hear that we love you, Jesus, and we praise you this Christmas. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we went through the Advent series so far. Our first candle was a candle of hope, and the sermon was on hope. Second one was peace, and then the one after that, the third one was joy, and now we are on love. And I want to start off with a little bit of a story, and it was on newstartdiscipleship.com. And this story went like this, and it was on, who here has ever watched BBC Earth? Anyone? Put your hand. I'm not talking the memes. I'm talking the actual show. Well, anyway, we have watched that, right? It's pretty interesting stuff. I like watching nature shows and that. I bore my wife and kids half to death sometimes watching them things. But this is an interesting one. It's on elephants and their caregiving behavior. You know, in the wild plains of Africa, one of the most emotionally intelligent and relational animals you'll find is the elephant. Elephants live in tight family units, and they're known for incredible deep bonds. But here's something remarkable. When a baby elephant is orphaned or abandoned, the herd doesn't cast it out or cast it off. You know what they end up doing? They take it in. The aunties and the old female elephants circle around the orphan, protecting it, nurturing it, and even mourning with it. So if you can imagine an elephant mourning over its mom or what have you passing away, the other elephants mourn with it. They guide it, they shelter it, they feed it, just like they would their own. It doesn't matter that the baby isn't biologically theirs. It doesn't matter that it's not useful to the herd yet. It's loved. That kind of compassion in the animal kingdom is rare, and it is a beautiful picture of this. It's more than biology. It's actually theology. You see, in Psalm 68:5, it says, Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. You see, God's love isn't based on usefulness or performance. It's not. He doesn't just accept us when we have something to offer. He wraps us up in grace when we're weak, when we're alone, when we're helpless. He doesn't care about pedigree. He adopts us. Just like those elephants gather around the orphan, the heart of God moves to gather the abandoned. You see, that's not instinct. That's agape love. It's divine, unearned, unconditional love. And he's still doing it today, right now. He is doing that for you and I. The title of today's message is God's Love for All Mankind. God's Love for All Mankind. Over 2,000 years ago, God gave his son to this earth. And we know that he gave it to the human race to take on human flesh, to be born of a virgin, and to redeem mankind through his sacrificial love. John 3:16 is our text here this morning, and many of us know this verse off by heart. I hope we do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. For some sitting here today, perhaps love is conditional. And I want to say that again. Perhaps for some sitting here today, love is conditional. You see, or your view of love is actually broken. I have seen this as a counselor for many, many years, that people have broken views of love. You see, or your view of love is, let's say, culturally misconstrued. Maybe it's messed up. Maybe you grew up in a home that only showed you love when you did something right. Or maybe as a child, you only experienced love when the mood and the situation in your family was right. Or things were going good for your parents. Or maybe your perspective of God's love is broken due to an unloving father. Maybe a mother. Or maybe you just fully don't understand agape love, the love of the Father that has been bestowed to you and me. Well, hopefully today I can help you to understand God's unconditional love for you and I a little bit better. You know, I'm going to read this little commentary portion. It's from Jameson Fawcett Brown. I call this commentary poetry. Sometimes you're reading through commentaries and you hit a certain area in the commentary and it's just absolutely amazing. And I will crop that out and I will set that aside for sermon use at some other time. And this I happen to find in the Jameson Fawcett Brown. And it says this, "For God so loved, what proclamation of the gospel has been so often on the lips of missionaries and preachers in every age since it was first uttered? What has sent such thrilling sensations through millions of mankind? What has been honored to bring such multitudes to the feet of Christ? What to kindle in the cold and selfish breasts of mortals the fires of self-sacrificing love to mankind as these words of transparent simplicity yet overpowering majesty." You see, John 3:16 shows us the character of God and his care and his love for us because he is a loving God. So when you read John 3:16, I always stop, and I remember preaching through this at a sermon series I did years ago, and I broke down every portion of John 3:16, and I preached for a month on John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." Now listen to them words. God loved the world so much that he gave. In the Greek, this word is edokin, meaning to give, to grant, to hand over, or appoint. But within the context of John 3:16, it's significant because it deliberates the act of offering of a sacrifice. Offering of a sacrifice. His son leaving heaven's throne room was a sacrifice. His son going to the cross was a sacrifice. You see, the Bible makes it clear that he did not take away or withhold, but instead he gave, God gave to you and me. Love is seen in the giving of God's Son, Jesus, but also in the fullness of time, what was to come, what he did. And we read that scripture here this morning. We stop at John 3:16, but we got to read on. Because in John 3:17, it says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved," or "the world might be saved through him." Salvation is offered through God's Son to mankind. In this world, the enemy has convinced the unsaved and even some saved individuals that God only takes away. God is a taker. I have heard countless people throughout the years in my ministry talk about God. If God loved me, why did he take my child? If God loved me, why did he take my husband, my wife? If he loved me, why did he take my career, my home, my finances, or health? And the list just goes on and on. You hear this continuously. They blame God and complain that he is a taker. This is what they say, that God is a taker. Well, I want to prove to you this morning that God is a giver. God is a giver. First of all, we know that God gave us his only Son. But God's giving spree is not only in the gift of his Son. So what are some things that our loving God has gave us? Well, Job 33:4 tells us this, that God gave us life. First and foremost, he gave us life. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. God is the author of life. That is why a baby in the womb is so important, because God gave that child life. That is why our seniors are so important. That is why those who are struggling with maybe their handicap, maybe their widow, maybe their orphan, they are so important to God, because God gave them that life. And it's not up to man to take it away. God gave it. God has also given his sheep, who are us that know Jesus, the promise of eternal life. We see that in John 10:27-29. It says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." When we are in the hands of God, no one, nothing can snatch us out. 1 John 5:11 says this, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Eternal life is an eternal gift from God. God is a giver. He gave us life, and then he gave us eternal life through his Son. God hasn't only given us his Son, and God hasn't only given us eternal life. God gives us provisions and material things in order for us to live and survive every day. When you leave here, I guarantee that you go home to a home. Amen? Hope so. If not, well, we're a church. We should help you, right? You know, you go home, you open up the fridge, you got food in it. You got food in your cupboards. You got a car, you got things. God provides. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Another couple of verses to back the fact that God gives and God is a provider is in Matthew 6:31-32. And it says this, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after such things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." You see, my God knows when I'm in need. Your God knows when you're in need. Some other things that God gave us is salvation. forgiveness, grace, mercy, purpose, rest, peace, and a plan for your life. The list goes on and on, considering God's loving kindness and giving heart. I could preach about that for weeks on end. That is why John 3:16 is the perfect intro verse when considering the Christmas story. You see, every gift you receive is from God. He gets the praise. He gets the honor. And he gets the glory. You know, it was funny yesterday, although I wasn't super thankful to be out shopping. I remember we went somewhere to grab a quick bite to eat, and we were driving out of the parking lot. And Cindy said to me, "God has blessed us." That's all she had to say. And I was like, I'm so thankful for everything that God has given us, Cindy. We are truly blessed. And you know, I think we need to do that, all of us, more often. In our house at Christmas morning, on Christmas morning, our boys, we would tell them that Jesus provided these gifts. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So speaking about awesome gifts, here's one for you. Who here loves fruitcake? Put your hand up. I'm about to wreck your day. Well, I got to say this. Speaking of gifts, sermonillustrations.com wrote this. An American Express survey about Christmas gifts found that the fruitcake was chosen most often, 31%, from a list of the worst holiday gifts. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I had to say it. No, you're not. You know, it even finished ahead of no gift at all. Oh, dear. When I was reading that, I was in my office just cracking up. And then it goes on. Believe this or not, when asked how to dispose of her bad gift, 30% said they chucked it in the closet. 21% said they returned it. How do you return a fruitcake? And then 19% said they gave it away. Oh, dear. And then it went on. This suggests that the Christmas fruitcake might get recycled as a gift for the host of the New Year's Eve party. Oh, dear. Sorry. So speaking of perfect gifts, let's get off that topic. I want to speak of the perfect gift. I wonder, did the shepherds fully know and understand the message they just received? Did Joseph fully understand at first that the child he was raising was in fact God incarnate? Did Mary know that the name and the message of the baby she held in her arms would spread to every corner of the earth? What she held in her arms would topple governments and thrones, would change continents, and crush satanic strongholds. The gift in her arms would turn the world upside down with one simple and majestic word, and that word is, and that word was, and that word will ever be, love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the gift of Christ is not the Christian religion, but the grace and the love of God, which culminated in the cross. You see, I came across another little quote. It's called, "The Word Transformed Our World." If God so loved the world, we realized how unbelievably right it was for the shepherds to fall down before this baby and worship him. If the real story be told, we know how unbelievably right it was for the wise men in the east to leave their work and travel thousands of miles across the Arabian desert in search of this child and fall down and worship him. If the real story be told, we realize how appropriate it is that millions upon millions on Christmas Day are worshiping Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Can love be seen in sacrifice? And this is a question for you today. Can love be seen in sacrifice? Well, John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Jesus showed us the greatest love, the most sacrificial love, the most caring and compassionate love by laying down his life for wretched sinners such as us. I had an inmate one time. I was at the Holton prison. I'll never forget it. Rugged guy. Pretty sure he killed somebody. And I remember going through Bible study with him. And he was very, very interested in what was going on and what was said. But when we talked about the forgiveness of sin, he couldn't get past it. It was like the threshold he couldn't go over. And he stopped there. And he said to me, he said, how could God save a wretched man like me? He said, especially if God knows what I have done. Well, my answer is found in Romans 5:6-8. And it says this, for while we were still weak, or sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love is seen in the death of Jesus Christ for broken, weary sinners such as us. God didn't say, I want you to clean up your life first. He did not say that. Then I will save you. He didn't say that. I'm only going to show my love towards you when you do that. He didn't say that. No. God meets us where we are at. Behind prison walls with this man. In cult worship. In our depravity and sex addictions. In our drug and alcohol dependence, in the bar room, in the divorce, in the failing business, in the brokenness of sin, God meets sinners where they are at. Hence, why I say in Romans 5:6, these words, Christ died for the ungodly. For the ungodly. Them people that we think there is no hope for them, Christ died for them. That's why it's so important that we share the gospel with them people that are broken. Christ died for the wicked. Christ died for the lost, the broken sinner. And Christ can meet you where you're at. And I'm a testimony to that. That is why verse 4 of the famous Billy Graham crusade, him just as I am, went like this. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Them auditoriums, them stadiums filled with broken sinners, caught headlong in addictions and brokenness and weariness, went forward at them crusades one after another and gave their lives to Jesus Christ in their brokenness. Billy Graham's crusades pleaded with the sinner, come as you are, come as you are. And then when you come, then he starts the house cleaning. Then he cleans the sinner. Then he sanctifies the sinner. Then he starts to do the work in that person's life to make them more like Jesus. You see, God desires to call us his children. 1 John 3:1 says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Can you imagine a perfect, righteous, and holy God's desires to call us his children? Sometimes I stumble upon that and I contemplate it and I'm like, God, really? I'm a child of God. Thank you, Lord. If you know you are loved by God, then you will love others. 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Matthew 22:37-40 backs them verses. You know, speaking about loving others, I will never forget. We used to raise money at Christmas time in our church, and we would raise thousands and thousands of dollars. In food alone, we had thousands, not including gift cards. We had the lovely opportunity to go door to door with these gifts, this food, all these gift cards. And what a blessing it truly was. Well, one Christmas, we had the opportunity to deliver food baskets, gift cards and presents and what have you to families in need in our community. And I will never forget walking into one house. When I drove up, I remember truly thinking, oh dear, when I seen this home. And when I went in, the door was hanging off, as you know, middle of winter and freezing, and they were all bundled up inside, and the furniture was all falling apart and what have you. It was an absolute mess, this place. When I went in, I remember going to the door, knocking on it, and asking them if I could give them these gifts and this food, these bags of food, and they welcomed them. So I went to the car and I made probably 5 or 6 trips in with all the bags and gifts and what have you. And I remember the kids opening them bags and unpacking them and putting them on the cupboard and literally celebrating like you wouldn't believe it. And you know what they were celebrating? Pancake mix, syrup, a little bit of cereal, a couple of canned things and KD. And I'm sitting there going, my word. I remember walking out of there with a tear in my eye and thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing me the way you have. But more importantly than that, than the blessings that have come upon me in my own life, I remember thinking, God, thank you for allowing me to bless others. Thank you for allowing our church to bless others. It's so important, especially at Christmas time. So Psalm 86:15 says, But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So thank you, Lord, for your abounding in love, steadfast love, and your faithfulness towards us. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 was read here this morning, but there's this little retake on it, little rewrite on it, and I want to read it to you today. It's a Christmas version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. If I decorate my house perfectly with green boughs, strands of twinkling lights and shiny balls, but do not have love, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautiful adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and snowflakes, if I attend a bunch of holiday parties and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug a child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss a spouse. Love is kind. Love does not envy another's home. that is coordinated Christmas china table and linens. Love does not yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful they are there to be in the way. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Toys will break, pearl necklaces will be lost, golf clubs will rust, but giving the gift of love at Christmas will endure forever. Worship team, come on up. If you have not experienced the love of God, and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior here today, I want you to know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this verse, you are a part of the world. You are the whosoever's or the whoever's. You are the one that Jesus wants to save so that you don't perish, but that you have eternal life. If there's someone here struggling this Christmas, perhaps, or you want the elders to pray for you, after the service today, we are going to have a couple of elders up front that would love to pray with you. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, then let me ask you this. What is stopping you from coming to know Christ? What is in the way? Maybe you need to talk to someone. We'll come up and speak with our elders or myself. We would love to chat with you today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your enduring agape love. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate you, Jesus, at Christmas time. Thank you for leaving the throne room of heaven and come into this old, dirty, and sinful earth, living amongst us, and finally going to that old rugged cross for a sinner such as I. Lord, thank you that you died, but Lord, most importantly, thank you that you conquered the grave, and you rose from the dead, and you are seated at the right hand of the Father, that where you are, we will be one day in glory with you, Jesus, because we know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give this day to you. In Christ's name, amen.